Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Municipalities across Northumberland County struggle to deal with short-term rentals. Those are the rental properties often associated with Airbnb or Vrbo online platforms. For some, the ability to rent a space, either a room or a house, is a great source of income. Others see it as a great boost for tourism. It can be a stimulant for the local economy. Then there are others who see it differently. There are noise issues, parking problems, and a host of other negatives. Alnwick Haldeman Township Council is the latest to wrestle with its attempts to control short-term rentals. An ad hoc committee recently brought forward some changes to a bylaw passed in 2022. These tweaks have a group of operators in the Business Association very concerned. On today's show, you will hear those concerns. Two representatives of the group will dive into the issues to see if a balance can be found. They will give their perspective on how it is playing out in the township before council makes its decision later this month. I'm so pleased to have with me today Jacqueline Pennington, a representative of the Alnwick Haldeman Business Owners Association, and Nicole Sterling, someone who operates a short-term rental in Alnwick Haldeman. Thank you so much for joining Consider This.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Let's start with the basics. How do you define a short-term rental? Let's start with you, Nicole.
A short-term rental is a apartment or a space that you can rent for under 3 month period of time. It can be within your home, or it can be a separate building on your property, or Jacqueline, a full house.
Okay, Jacqueline, would you like to add anything to that?
I think that's fairly similar. I think it offers a short-term rental is essentially something that is under a period of time of approximately 3 to 6 months.
All right, then. Jacqueline, maybe you can explain to us, is it different than, say, going to a resort or renting a cabin for a week or going to a hotel? How is it different?
I think so. Short-term rentals offer a different type of accommodation. So a lot of people will use, for example, short-term rentals in between housing if they're in the area for local work. And then there's a large vacation component. So there's a lot of really amazing examples in the community of, you know, A-frame houses, tiny homes are very popular. So again, they offer something a little bit more eclectic and interesting for the people that are using them to stay at.
Now, before that, there was a bylaw in the township, and it defined short-term rentals as only being allowed under a certain zoning. This was before it was amended in 2022, and it talked about being in areas of general commercial and hamlet commercial.
That's correct.
Can you tell me, or can you give me some examples of places where that would have applied? So, places in Alnwick Haldeman that fall in that zoning that would have had a short-term rental?
I can answer that. Commercial zoning where houses are regularly not in place, the MRF, so the recycling facility, or where the arena is in Grafton. So basically when they change the zoning to allow short-term rentals, basically what they did is prohibit any new short-term rentals from starting up in the future. Only the ones that were there before May 2022 would have been grandfathered in and allowed to carry on operating. So basically what they didn't ban short-term rentals per se, but they banned them in all the zonings where housing is permitted and where people could operate short-term rentals.
Jacqueline, short-term rentals are often associated with Airbnb, a company that provides an online platform for people to advertise and book short-term rentals. Now there's Vrbo. There's another one I think that's called Capterra. It's now quite competitive. Mm-hmm. What is the attraction of short-term rentals for owners? Mm-hmm.
So for short-term rentals, they're used in a lot of different ways. From my experience, they're actually primarily used to assist both often either widows, divorcees, single women, retirees, young individuals in terms of making home ownership more affordable in the sense in terms of helping to offset the carrying cost of their existing residence. So from my personal involvement in research, I would say that's certainly the majority of how people use short-term rentals within our community. Of course, there are people who will buy a property specifically just to use it as a short-term residence, but our experience is specifically in Alnwick-Haldimand, the majority are owner-operated of individuals that own the house and are essentially very much like Nicole, utilizing it in terms of supplementing their existing mortgage payments and income from their own personal residence.
Now I'll get you both to answer this, but I'll start with Jacqueline. Normally, we don't hear much about short-term rentals unless there is a problem. Mm-hmm. So in 2019, there was a young woman in Toronto who tossed a chair from a balcony. And then there has been also stories in the media about massive parties that go on. Can either of you, and I'll start with Jacqueline, can either of you provide anecdotal evidence of concerns like this being raised in Alnwick-Haldimand specifically?
Yeah, so there actually was some research done on that. And I know Nicole can add to this as well. It was actually very little. So in terms of there's approximately 50 plus known short-term rentals within the township. Over the past 2 years, there was only 5 of those that were identified as having bylaw complaints specifically to do with noise violations. So again, I think like always, we always hear the horror stories, but it's actually been very, very few isolated incidences and really only to about 3 to 5 in total of the over 50 short-term rentals within the township at this moment.
Nicole, would you like to add anything to that?
Yes. Yeah. So of the 5 complaints against short-term rentals, 2 of the properties had multiple complaints. So for example, there was 12 complaints against one and 14 complaints against the other. Both these properties were on Lakeshore residential areas, and they were non-owner occupied. So the owner was not on site at the time. Most of these complaints were noise or disruption, trespassing. A lot of the complaints are parking complaints or fireworks or bonfires, etc. So like Jacqueline said, of the 50 known short-term rentals, there's basically just 2 that have been in the complaint department that have had complaint against them.
With that in mind, though, I mean, if you're a resident in that area, obviously that's very annoying. I mean, well, it only may be 2. So how do we address that then? What would be your solution? I'll start with Nicole. Why don't you offer a solution, then I'll ask Jacqueline.
So we need to deal with the bad apples. You know, we need to find a way to deal with them so that all the good ones can just function and just go on with it, what we're doing, because what we're doing is wonderful. I think it's a bylaw issue. So if it's a noise complaint and there's a complaint against noise bylaw, so the bylaw officers needs to deal with that straight away and try to eradicate the problem. And this is what we're trying to figure out, how to deal with the bad apples. Is it fines? But then we're thinking, well, these people they keep doing it. They will just pay the fine and carry on doing what they're doing. So it's just figuring it out, a way to deal with the bad apples, finding a way to do that.
Jacqueline, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I certainly agree. And I'd like to say in terms of, I firmly believe everyone has the right to quiet enjoyment of their own home. So I don't think anyone I know is in any way, shape, or form suggesting that what's happened at those two particular problems is okay, because it's not. Mm-hmm. But I think really what it comes down to is proper of bylaw enforcement. We already mm-hmm. have bylaws in Alnwick-Haldimand that prohibit noise issues, as well as we have bylaws around campfires and fireworks as well. So, you know, mm-hmm. we have the existing framework in place to deal with those problems, but we do have an issue in terms of obviously the fines aren't high enough, or the bylaws are not being, you know, appropriately implemented. So I think for me, the question is, how is an all right ban essentially punishing everyone and more bylaws going to help or benefit fix this issue when the existing bylaws obviously aren't even being implemented with these two problem situations?
Well, let's start talking about that now, because I'd like to sort of map the journey of how we got to this situation that we're in. And so we know that there was a review of the short-term rental bylaw in 2022. In the proposed bylaw, there was a grocery list of prohibited areas or zones that were not in the earlier version. Can either one of you tell me a bit about why it was necessary to create that list of prohibited zones and some other changes that took place? Now, Nicole, you've already alluded to the fact that there was a licensing fee and there were some bylaws, but explain this grocery list of zoning changes that took place in 2022.
So I think basically what it is that the township, the council cannot ban short-term rentals outright. So what they did, instead of banning them outright, they just changed the zoning in where they would be allowed to operate. So we have in our township rural, we have agricultural zoning, rural residential, hamlet residential, shoreline residential, limited service residential, which is private roads. And then we have general commercial, hamlet commercial, recreational commercial, and development and other commercial zones. So what they did is they decided to only allow short-term rentals to operate in the general commercial areas, hamlet commercial areas, and recreation commercial areas, which basically what they've done is they banned short-term rentals from operating, because no one can own a house there or an apartment or build a shepherd's hut or a yurt. They're commercial zones. So basically what they did is they didn't ban them outright, but they just took away all the zones where they could operate.
Another review has just taken place by an ad hoc committee. Can you describe what are the proposed changes from this ad hoc committee?
Okay, so we would like the zoning to open up, and we propose that short-term rentals be allowed in all zones in our township, because if you take away, say, for example, shoreline residential, it's a little discriminating against people who own houses on a lake. And if tourists come to this area, of course they want to be on a lake. And again, it doesn't mean if you have a short-term rental on a lake shore property that you are going to have massive parties and create lots of noise. And again, that comes down to a different bylaw. We were also trying to suggest that the licensing fee be lowered. We thought that $750 per year annually is a little too high, because a lot of these short-term rentals are seasonal. So if you operate from June to September, you maybe rent your short, for example, ours, we rented out maybe 3-4 nights a week. It would take me 3 weeks to be able to afford $750. So we thought that the fee was too high. And there was a lot of inspections that were needed, and we agreed with that. We do agree with licensing or registration, but we just were wanting them to, it was a bit aggressive, the bylaw. We want them to gentle it a little bit.
So if I could ask,
of course.
I was just going to say, and I think that's the main thing, to really kind of, you know, explain it. They've created so many restrictions as to where they can be. They can only really be within the downtown village stretch of Alnwick-Haldeman. So essentially the gas station, I guess, can have a short-term rental and the MRF can have a short-term rental. And that really is honestly it. So what they did is instead of coming out and saying, we can't ban it because they cannot do that, they've effectively said, we will grandfather what's in existence, but ban anything from coming into the township in terms of someone opening up an STR, unless essentially you're within about less than a half a kilometer strip of the downtown. The other thing to add to that on the restriction side of it is it is more restrictive to have a STR than it is on a large scale commercial property. So for example, they have to have annual, you know, septic inspections. Even a restaurant, even an inn, even St. Anne's Spa doesn't have those requirements. So what they have done, unfortunately, is they have created one of the most, if not the most restricted STR bylaw and zoning provisions within the entire province of Ontario is what has been done at this point.
Jacqueline, one of the points that you raised is the restrictive nature of the zoning and it making it impossible really for anybody new to come into the market. What is the municipality supposed to do then in the case? I mean, we talk about right now, there's only so many, what is it, 50 or so that are operating. Mm-hmm. But being such a beautiful area, tourism being so important, and you know, people seeing the economic advantages of doing this, how do you address the concern that all of a sudden people are just going to come in, start buying all kinds of properties, mm-hmm. putting them on Airbnb, and this becoming an exploding business within the municipality that could easily get out of control, also impacting things like affordability, driving housing prices through the roof, all those other concerns that we hear about so often. Can you maybe address those?
Of course. So in terms of, I think that is a valid concern. I do think, however, given how long short-term rentals have been operating in Northumberland with very, very little issues, and we haven't seen that significant growth like large tourism communities. So again, you know, our neighbors to the east, I think we all know Prince Edward County has certainly had that problem. Prince Edward County is one of the largest tourism winery regions in the province. So again, I think we're really dealing with a very different circumstance. And a lot of other municipalities do have bylaws in place to help with that, that are less restrictive than Alnwick-Haldeman's. On the affordable housing issue, if you don't mind me addressing that, because I do think that there is some misinformation out there that, you know, the narrative has been, you know, if we have short-term rentals, that's going to take away from long-term rentals and create affordable housing issues. When you look at the actual numbers of those 50 or so units that are out there currently, the vast majority of them are owner-occupied, in which very much like Nicole, it is either a room or a tiny house or a residence they are already using full-time. So these are not residences, especially when they're seasonal, that are going to be added to the long-term rental stock, full stop. People are not regularly buying units in Alnwick-Haldeman to use for the purpose of renting. I personally work in real estate. I deal with this every single day. I meet a lot of people in terms of and what drives them to buy real estate in Northumberland. And we are not a region that is a sought after region to buy a property for short-term rental. Kawarthas, Prince Edward County, all of these major tourism hubs are. We are not one of them. The other thing I just want to speak about, because I think the affordable housing issue on this is very important, is that when we have situations in which we have an individual who maybe, and examples are, they've just gotten a divorce, so they can't yet afford to buy a house. They need a place to stay. They need a safe home for their children. Short-term housing offers that, and it ensures that they're not taking away from long-term housing stock. Short-term housing was also used readily available when the Ukrainian families came to our community and needed a place to be. The last point I do want to make on that, because I think it's an important one, is what my husband and I have been directly impacted by. We own a number of properties in the area that we do use as affordable long-term rentals. And what we intended to do was to use one of our properties that's actually next door to our own home, so we could easily watch, monitor it, ensure that no one was disturbed, as a short-term rental to help supplement keeping our long-term rentals affordable. We just moved someone into one of our rentals that is an $1,100 a month in Coburg, all-inclusive, and has just been fully renovated. The only way I can afford as a homeowner and a landlord to keep that housing stock affordable for the people that need it in the community is to help get other income to supplement that. And that's why this overly restrictive bylaw has actually created more of an issue in that regard.
I'm going to start with Nicole. What is at the heart of all this, really? What is really the make or break on this issue in your mind?
So really, the issue is, as property owners and taxpayers of this township, and again, I'm going to take myself, I've been here for 27 years. I've lived in this township for 27 years. We just feel, or I just feel, that they're taking away my rights. If I want to run a small business within my home, I feel like they're not permitting me to do that. I have a large property, and if someone's coming to tell me what I can and cannot do on my property, I don't agree with that. We do have other small businesses in this township that are home run. We have hairdressers, we have massage therapists, we have mechanics that fix cars in their garage, people that fix furniture in their workshop, people build birdhouses, and etc. So why are we any different to those home run businesses in this small town? And why do we have such aggressive bylaw and rules and regulations coming at us, you know, and inspections and etc., when all the other small businesses don't? And we don't want this to turn, once they get this bylaw done and we have all these restrictions, where are they going next? Are they going to go after the hairdresser and the massage therapist and the mechanic? Is that where they're going next? That is my problem. They're taking away our freedom and our right as property owners and taxpayers to do what we want within our property. And we're not bothering anybody. If you think about it, the township doesn't even know how many STRs are operating in this township. And the reason they don't know how many is because there have been no complaints against us. We're not harming anyone. We're just living our life, and you know, we're offering people a place to stay for a short period of time. For example, I know a family whose house burnt down, and they had nowhere to go. They wanted to stay within the township so that their children could go to the same school. So they found a short-term rental and they stayed there until they could sort their new property out, etc. So the children got to stay at the same school and they had the same friends, etc. I don't know if you remember the big storm we had at Christmas time when the power went out and the whole town was out of Wi-Fi and power. And so we had crews of hydro people, and we had a train crash as well. So the CN crews were all here. They had nowhere to stay. So we found these short-term rentals, and we were able to find spots for them to spend the night. The local restaurant, the Lassen Ladle, opened up its doors, and we fed them. And so short-term rentals came in handy on that night. Many, many times where the 401 is shut down, usually between Brighton and Coburg, people come off the 401 in a snowstorm and they start Googling short-term rentals. So pop up the short-term rentals, and there they have a nice bed to sleep for at night safely with their children. So all these stories that we've had, it's not just about partying and, you know, having fun and noise. There are rules that, you know, you can only have two people per bedroom that you are renting. So we just need to follow those guidelines. And you know, I don't see why there is such aggressive bylaw.
Jacqueline, how do we find a balance in all of this? What would you propose?
I think balance is key. I think that really is. And I think in terms of, unfortunately, what's happened, you know, and I go back to, I would like to kind of bring up that in 2018, Alna Kaldeman entered into an economic development plan, and the township themselves identified that the two driving factors, the two main things in this community of priorities in terms of economic development, was tourism and supporting small business. And what surprises me as a small business owner in this community, as a young mom trying to support my family and grow my business, is they are coming in with one of the most restrictive bylaws in the entire province to really prevent growing economic agribusinesses in the community, as well as tourism. And to Nicole's point, there is balance. There are amazing property owners that are running these very responsibly that are the vast majority of property owners. And I think that's what we need to focus on, is that, yes, we're okay with licensing. There should be bylaws that prevent noise and parking issues and, you know, cause friction for neighbors and, you know, make their lives not enjoyable living in their own homes. But we shouldn't have an all right ban that punishes good people living in our community who are just trying to get by and support their families.
Nicole, what's next steps?
Well, we have, the council has two meetings coming up, one on the 16th of May and the next one on the 23rd. I believe the 23rd of May meeting is where the council will make their decision on how the new bylaw will, what it will look like. We want people to come to these meetings. We want bodies in the room so that the council can see how much support we have. That's how the bylaw in May 2022 came about, really. They were trying to rush to get it done before the May 2-4 weekend. They had all these angry people in the room at that time. So that's where they just said, okay, no more STRs. So what we want to do, we want to do the opposite effect. We want people there in the room supporting us, you know, just being there, all the maybe businesses that are going to be benefiting from tourism here. We want to show that we're a force, and we are, we want that support in the room at the time. So the 16th and the 23rd of May, the next two council meetings.
Jacqueline Pennington, Nicole Sterling, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
That was Jacqueline Pennington, representing the Alnwick-Haldimand Business Owners Association, and Nicole Sterling, who operates a short-term rental. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com. Or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.